Blog Talk Radio.
God bless. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Of course, this is the Wake Up to Jesus broadcast. I'm your host. My name is Apostle Lonnie Stiles. I want you to stay tuned today. If you'd like to call us, you can call us at 252-916-0104 or 252-214-0799. Listen, God got a word for you. Stay tuned today, and I want you to be blessed. We're coming to you from the Jesus Save Ministry. We're located in Greenville, North Carolina. The address is 1007 West Arlington Boulevard, Greenville, North Carolina, 27834. You can meet us on the web at www.tjsm.org. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, praise you and God bless you. We're glad to be here tonight and to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do we. We love you as well. We want you to know that you can make it tonight, but my topic tonight is a very strange topic. You got to be careful who in the world you deal with. Everybody ain't your friend. Everybody is not your friend. You got to understand that everybody, everyone that hug you, everyone that kiss you, you know, people love to, you know, let me tell you something. But you got to be careful about that. The Bible talks about that. Maybe you got to be careful from whom you get your advice from. Everybody is not your friend. Everyone, my mama used to say, LJ, everything glitter ain't gold. Mm-hmm. You ever heard that? Everything that glitter is not gold. Everyone that say, I love you, they're not for you. They're not. You just told me about someone, called you today about someone died. Mm-hmm. And the funeral going to be in New York and then also in South Carolina. And you said they told you it's only 3 hours away. Mm-hmm. And they want her, the person, to have a good home going. Mm-hmm. But you and I know that person they're talking about, what, 20 years ago? Mm-hmm. They weren't faithful at all. Mm-hmm. Never have been that we knew about, I knew about. But now they're dead, and someone is calling, want me to go out the way to do a whole lot. But anyway, I'm not opposed to that. The idea is, be careful from whom you get your advice from.
Yes.
Everybody that give you advice is not good for you, baby.
That's true.
You know, everybody that give you advice is definitely not good for you. They may know something good to say, but everything they give you is not good.
That's true.
It's not good. Let's look at something here in the book of Proverbs. Now, let me tell you something about Proverbs.
Okay.
When I first got saved, you remember Simon?
Yes.
Robert Simon?
Yes.
I didn't even know he read the Bible.
Okay.
But when I got saved, he said, "But Starks? But Starks," that's what he told. You need to read Proverbs.
Okay.
It's a book of wisdom.
Okay.
I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." And Proverbs didn't make no sense to me. But he kept telling me over and over. Every time he said, "But Starks, you need to read. No, he called me, "Lonnie, you need to read Proverbs." Huh? Proverbs is a book of wisdom.
True that.
And to me, the Bible was the Bible. I did not see anything that was important about Proverbs that I had to read it. But he insisted.
Okay.
I mean, for a year, every time he would see me, "You're reading Proverbs, aren't you?"
Wow.
And that was his favorite book, he said.
Okay.
Yeah, he read Proverbs.
Makes sense.
But tonight we in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 7. And what did it say from the King James Bible?
Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge.
So we have to examine everyone we talk with, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
According to the Bible.
According to the Bible.
We just can't go around listening to people and ignore God.
True.
God tells us that we should go from the presence of a foolish man.
Yes.
When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So any man that's not talking what God say, I'm about to get away from him. Is that right or wrong?
That's right.
What do you say about that? Now, Simon told me that. Now, I've been saved 41 years. So I mean, before I went to church, I think Simon was telling me that.
Mm.
Of course, Simon is dead.
True.
Of course, Simon preached it, but he didn't live it.
That's true, too.
He told me many things he did. And he was telling me how he went to Brooklyn Tabernacle and how he sat back and he scoped out the ladies. He said he scoped this one lady out. And she had this white hat on. I mean, this, you know, this thing that went on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And this long dress. He said, I'm going to get that woman. Solomon said, I've told his name, but he did. Don't make no difference anyway. He told how he was set on the other side of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he got close and close to her.
Okay.
And he told her how much he admired her.
Mm.
How he could see God in her.
Oh my God.
He said she could. He could see that she was believing him.
Oh my God!
And he said he was just like to be her friend. That's all. And
oh
how
God.
he reeled her in. He told me how he reeled her in.
Oh my God!
And he finally got the chance to go to her apartment.
Oh my God!
And how he talked her in a few weeks. Having sex with him. And she was a saved woman.
Oh my God.
And so then he was telling me about it. He's mad them Christians ain't real. And then he told me about that lady.
Oh my God.
Now after he done pulled her down, they got her to do some things that was not godly. Then he comes and tell me. But yet and still he telling me to read Proverbs. But now, so she must have not been reading, right? I don't know.
Not Proverbs.
I don't know what the situation was, but the Bible says, go from the presence of a foolish man. She did not see anything foolish in him.
Oh, my God.
And the Bible said, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So the things he was saying was patting on the back, but it wasn't godly.
No, they weren't.
They weren't godly.
No.
And what's the guy name that did my work in my basement? What was his name? He told me how he was the pastor's daughter. He used to pass their house and how she'd be reading the Bible. And he said he liked her, so he'd speak to her. So she acted like she didn't want to speak. One day he went and bought him a great big Bible. What's that guy's name?
God.
He said he bought him a great big Bible, right?
Yeah.
And she said, I didn't know you read the Bible. He said, make sure she could see it.
Oh my
he
God.
Said, oh yeah, I read the Bible all the time.
Oh,
he said, I'd like to sit out and read with you sometime.
Oh my God.
And so he said he was stepped by the house. They were sitting on the porch on the steps in Brooklyn. And he read the Bible with her. And she read with him. And then one day she finally asked him, would he go to church with her? She said, yeah. I'm trying to think of his name. And he said he went to church with her. Her father was a pastor, right? And no, a deacon in church. And she was in Ella, like, I don't want to call it pastor's name, but in the church with him. And so he got real close to her. got real close. They became real good friends. You know, go to church. But he wasn't real, baby. And he was smoking reef and doing crack cocaine.
Oh my God.
And eventually, he said he got that young lady to move in with him. Now, she should have seen right there, right?
Yeah.
It said, when thou perceivest not in him, that's the person, the lips of knowledge, you should get away from him.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
Go from the presence.
She moved in with him.
Oh, God.
And they started shacking up. Of course, the daddy was mad. All of them was upset. But he had won over. See, that's what a foolish man would do to you.
Yes.
He will pull you out of church.
Yeah.
And he will pull you completely away from God.
Mm-hmm.
He did. What was his name? Al. Al was his name. Remember Al?
Al.
Well, he did now. So he said, he finally got her turned on to crack cocaine.
Jesus.
He told me how he said one morning he got her to hit that crack and she was pushing the vacuum cleaner. And all of a sudden he said she was speeding around the house.
My God.
Like she was in a race. He said, baby, I got you now. Go ahead, baby. Got the girl.
Yeah.
To leave church.
He admitted it. Oh, my God.
So my topic tonight is what?
Be careful whom you get to take advice from.
Be careful. Because you might, the person that's giving you advice might not be for your best interest.
Jesus.
They may be only looking out for them. And they may be telling you something that's not even true.
Exactly.
And so, these are two examples that I know about. You know, Al, he told me he was a very light complexion guy. And when we met him, he was very dark.
Mm-hmm.
His whole complexion had changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it still got the young lady out of church.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is, she finally woke up.
Thank you, Jesus.
And she left Al.
Mm-hmm.
And got back in church. And for as I know, she's still in church today in New York. Michael Collins' sister.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Michael Collins used to do my flyers and stuff for me?
Mm-mm.
Well, it was his sister, Mr. Collins' daughter.
Mm.
Mr. Collins is dead. Al is dead. So it shows us today how we got to be careful who we talk to.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier, just before we went on the air, that everything we have out here in Belleville,
mm-hmm.
I bought it for the church.
Yeah.
The trampoline, the swing set,
mm-hmm.
I even bought our ATV. Paid $9,000 for the children. I bought a pool table in for all of them. And all these things, they doesn't see it as anything. So you flip the coin. Sometimes you try to be good, and the person you're trying to be good to doesn't appreciate it. Sometimes you're trying to live good, and the person that's giving you advice is giving you wrong advice.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible says. You got to be careful. It said, don't even look what it said. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man. No matter how good a friend you're a person, you and a person are. You can't hang and be buddy with a foolish person.
No.
That's advising you wrong.
No, I can't.
That's why I said, be careful of the advice you get.
Right.
Anyone that's advising you wrong, you got to be very, very careful.
Exactly.
Be careful from whom you're getting your advice from. Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
You don't know. All you know is the word. Stand on the word.
Right.
Don't let the word slip.
Exactly.
If anybody gives you any advice that's contrary to God's word, the Bible said you need to get away from them.
Right.
Run from them.
Sure.
I mean, run. So, in verse number 8, it says, read what it says.
The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit.
If you're a fool, you can easily be deceived. I pray, what scripture say? Pray that you're pray that your flight is not in the winter. In other words, Lord, don't let me be a fool. Lord, let me be prudent.
Yes, Lord.
Let me be prudent, Lord. Don't let me be a fool.
Please.
Because a fool can easily get deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You can mean well, and you can let somebody come up and deceive you if you're a fool.
Wow.
Look what it says in verse 9.
Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous, there is favor.
A fool will laugh at, oh, you just did that. You drink a drink and look at, man, that ain't nothing. You smoked a cigarette, that ain't nothing.
Man.
You got mad and cursed that money out, that ain't nothing. God, what do you say, God too good?
Yeah.
How you say they say it?
God too good, he not gonna mess with you. Oh, God forgive you.
God will forgive you, go ahead and do it.
Go ahead and do it, God.
Remember, we're serving a merciful God.
Oh, yeah.
We're serving a kind God.
Yeah. Go ahead, sin.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
You see, a fool makes a mark at sin. It's nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
He mocks it. He likes it. It's a joke. But among the righteous, there is favor. Did you see that?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Favor is not with a fool, because a fool will allow someone to deceive him or her. And see, when you know what God did for you, and when you know where God brought you from, you're not supposed to let nobody pull you back.
No.
See, I know. I was talking with in the meeting today with the men. I said, you know what? I know where I came from. I had nothing. Wasn't in church. In the street partying. So nobody can't tell me that God didn't bless me. And I don't want that life back no more.
Mm-mm.
I don't want that party in life.
Mm-mm.
I don't want that drinking life. I don't want that smoking life. So when somebody suggests to me, hey, do this or that, man, my salvation means too much for me. I'm not going to listen to that.
I don't care
how good they are.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to listen. I didn't do this for God. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen.
Mm-mm.
Number 10, verse 10 says what?
The heart knoweth his own bitterness.
Look, did you see that?
Yeah.
So a lot of times we blame the person, but we really want to get an amen to do it. See, I blame you. I blame you that we slept together, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to do it all the time.
All the time.
Or you blame me that we slept together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we did. But guess what?
It's your fault.
You want to do it all the time.
All the time.
The Bible said the heart knows his own
bitterness.
And a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. So, if you know you want to live right,
right,
talk to me now.
I'm talking.
If you know you want to live right,
yes, sir.
Why would you entertain? Well, let's go out and have lunch. And then from lunch, I'm tired, ain't you?
No.
Yeah, that's, you know. You know, ain't nobody here. Could we stop at the hotel? Do you understand?
Yes.
Ain't no problem. Ain't nobody but us. Who knows about it? Nobody knows. I pay my tithe. You pay your tithe. We go to church.
No.
What's wrong with it?
God is a forgiving God.
So what the scripture tells us there? Well, what did he say? He said what?
The house of the wicked shall be overthrown.
It's going to be overthrown. So if you do it, you're going to get caught. The Bible said, be it known unto your sins
will
find you out. No matter how good you think you are and how smart you think you are, if you sin against God, you're going to be exposed. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown.
Overthrown.
But the tabernacle of the upright shall what?
Flourish.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
So y'all listening to us tonight.
Amen.
Be careful who you're getting your advice from.
Yeah.
Honey, I mean the devil's slave. Look what it says in verse 12.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man.
Right at the moment, you're at the right place because you got there. You shouldn't have went there.
True that.
I tell people there's a place of no return.
There is.
I preached a message one time about you're too close to the snake line.
Yeah,
remember that years ago?
Yeah.
And Pastor Ratley preached the message, don't go too far, don't stay too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people go out with just a friendly gesture? I got a preacher in New York. He stopped speaking to me about 10 years ago because I told him that him and his lady was coming to North Carolina or going somewhere from New York in a revival. And I said, man, be careful. He said they stopped at a hotel somewhere in Maryland and they went and had intercourse. He said, but you know what? It was just a one-time thing. I said, man, if the devil can get you to do it one time, you'll do it again.
Hmm.
And that man started a relationship with that woman. And I think him and his wife separated.
Hmm.
But guess what? The Bible said there is a way, what?
Which seems right.
It looked like it's okay. Ain't nobody but you and I. It looked like it's okay. Curse him out. Quit speaking to him. It looked like.
Seems right.
It seemed right. But the Bible says what? But the end what?
Thereof are the ways of death.
The very thing you think is all right is going to bring death to you. And if you listen to somebody else, they're going to amen you on.
Hmm.
Come on, let's do it. I found my thrill.
On Blueberry Hill.
And you know what? Blueberry Hill, that's a song. You know, Fat Domino dead.
Mm.
He sung that song.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Your salvation is more important than a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
See, a few minutes of pleasure. What did I think Lonnie said the other day? 3 seconds can cause you more trouble. What did you say, Igo?
You can get in more trouble. You can get in trouble in 3 seconds. It take a whole lifetime to get out of.
Get in more trouble in 3 seconds. Then you can get out in a whole lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Elder Wiggins, he's dead now. Not Donnie. Bernie Wiggins. Much older than man than me. If he'd be living, he'd probably be about 90. So he told me the story. How God had saved him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saved for like 20 years. And he allowed his son to come live with him. Because he had no place to live. And his son smoked Marlboro cigarettes. This is his testimony, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can say, well, he ain't here to verify it. But don't trust me. I'm just telling you what he told me. I wouldn't have known if he didn't tell me.
All right.
He said one morning, he woke up. Everybody was going out in the house. And his son had left a package of Marlboro cigarettes on the coffee table. Ella Wiggins told me this.
Mm-hmm.
He said he looked at them cigarettes. He said he hadn't smoked in 20 years. He said, I wonder how it tastes. I haven't smoked in 20 years. And Ella Wiggins said he took a cigarette out of that pack and lit it. And I think Ella Wiggins must have told me that in like 79, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last time I saw the Wiggins was like in 90 or something. He was still hot and cigarette smoking. My son says 3 seconds, you can get in more trouble than you can get out in the lifetime. And I don't think Elder Wiggins got delivered from them cigarettes. One night I was coming from White Cove Hospital. He was walking along the street on, what's that, Central Avenue. And so I pulled upside of him. I didn't know he was smoking. Elder Wiggins was smoking, baby.
What?
Yeah. So I pulled upside of him, and he tried to hide the cigarette. So he put it down.
Did he keep it in his hand?
And he had to put it out. But, you know, and he was just shaking it, trying to get it to go out. Now I must have been about 40 years old then. Now, Ella Wiggins was about 60 years old, I'm sure, at that time. I think he was, at least. But that just shows you how that Satan can get into you.
Yeah.
And he'll follow you. See, the thing is, saints, If you've been delivered, don't let Satan take you back. Because he don't mind taking you back, honey.
Mm-mm.
He don't mind he doesn't mind taking you back.
No.
He don't care about you, and he don't care about me.
Not at all.
He don't care about whether you serve God or don't serve God.
No, sir.
No, he care about you serving him. Because he know if you serve God, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Satan wants you to leave Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to play it down. The Bible says in John that he come to steal.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to steal? Steal your salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Steal your health?
Well,
we just got a call today, or you did, a lady that we knew died.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Satan wants. He want to kill you.
Yep.
Honey, he want you and I dead. And he'll use anyone, no matter who it is, if it accomplishes his purpose.
Right.
Satan has a purpose in our life.
That's right.
Satan has a purpose in our life. Satan has a purpose in our life.
That's right.
And and he'll use any and everyone to accomplish that purpose.
He will. Mm-hmm.
And so we got to be careful who I get advice from.
Sure.
Look, anyone that Satan can use to accomplish the purpose in my life or your life, you don't drink, you don't smoke.
Okay.
But if Satan could get you back doing that, that's his purpose.
I see.
Look, you don't curse, you don't use vulgarity.
Right.
But if Satan could get either one of us to go back doing that, that's his purpose. Saints, are y'all listening to us tonight?
Amen.
He'll use anybody. He'll use your children. I mean, will he use your children, honey? What do you say?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Will he use your own children?
Yes.
Talk to him, will he?
Yes, he will.
He'll make them children say some things and do some things that you'll come out in character.
What?
And the devil will tell you, well, it's all right.
Go ahead. No, you know, not just all right. He's saying, go ahead, go ahead.
Do it, do it.
Go ahead, go ahead.
You know what Marvin Gaye did? Marvin Gaye killed his own son. What one of my sons said to me last year, he said, what did you feel like when I jumped in your face and you were feeling like Marvin Gaye, Marvin Gaye's father? Now, I hadn't even thought about that. Honey, I hadn't even thought about that. It had not even come across my mind. But Satan used that young man, what was it, a month or two later, to bring that in my that I felt like Marvin Gaye's father. But I didn't. That was to make me curse, make me do any kind of thing to lose my soul. What happened? What was it in? Was it January this year or something? When you heard, I gave your phone and the boy was cursing me out? What was it? December, January? February. When was it?
February,
right? This person called me, and this person cursed me,
mm-hmm.
called me a punk. And see, the Bible said, be careful who you listen to.
Yeah.
Called me a faggot. This person did, right? But that was to make me retaliate. And then the person called me a SOB on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I gave you, let you put it on speaker and let you hear it. You said you would have never believed that.
Mm-mm.
If I would have told you that, you wouldn't have believed it. But see, Satan uses anyone, including me, if he can, or including you, if he can, to bring down somebody else.
That's right.
That's
right.
Why you got to be careful.
That's
who,
right.
Who you talk to. So there's a way that seems right. See, at the moment when that boy cursed me out, I didn't feel like cursing him back, but I felt like hurting him. You understand?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Satan used that to make me justify doing something wrong. And that's what Satan will do to any of you.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to use another person to provoke you that you can do something wrong, and then you can justify it. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, There is a way which seems right. It seems right.
It sure does.
It seems right.
It sure does.
But the end thereof are the ways of death.
Exactly.
And see, we can't fall for the seam.
Nah.
Just because I feel it's right don't mean I can do it.
That's
but Noah Jones said, just because you feel it, you can't do it.
No.
He said he'd been told, if you feel it, you might as well do it. Mm. You can't do everything you feel.
Just feel like doing it. Just do it.
Thinks you can't do that. Take a look at something. Mm-hmm. Here. I want to put this up here. Verse 13 say what?
Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heavy.
If the devil can make you, invite you or entice you to do something wrong, you're going to wind up being sorrowful. The
Why?
Minute you do it. I told you how my ex-wife, I beat her in court. She had lied on me. And we were walking down, the street down there. Oh, God.
Myrtle or Flatbush?
Flatbush Avenue. Something came up, and she said to me, your daddy ain't no good. Your mama ain't no good. Ain't none of your D brothers no good. And you ain't no so-and-so good.
Hmm?
And I told her, I said, kiss my so-and-so.
Hmm.
Guess what?
Hmm.
I felt so bad. Immediately, I said, I'm sorry. Immediately. But see, the devil put in my mind to retaliate for what she said. But you can't do that.
No.
I repented. I had to repent.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what she told me?
What?
You meant it. I said, I didn't really mean that. Yes, you did. I said, I didn't mean it. And I really didn't. But the person will get you to fall. And then after you fall, they'll say, you wanted to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know you wanted to do it.
Exactly.
That's what you wanted to do. But they didn't want to provoke you. So my thing tonight, be careful who you get advice from. Because that person you get advice from, baby, it may, but be careful from whom you're getting your advice from. See, that person may not care, and you care. You got, guess what? That's a positive and a negative together. You hit them two together, then you got a short in your battery, in your car.
Yeah.
If you hit that positive and negative together,
really?
Yes, man, you're short.
Yeah.
Explosion.
Yeah.
Could be a fire. In this house, we got negative wires and we got positive wires.
Okay.
You let that negative and positive touch each other, it could create a fire. And that's what the devil knows. So if you're dealing with somebody in the negative and you're in the positive, it's okay as long as you know where you are and as long as y'all don't touch. But if you touch, you got yourself a serious problem. Y'all hear me? I'm telling you right now, don't allow someone to cause you, give you some advice that's going to be devastating because you're the one going to suffer. Are y'all hearing me? When it's all over, it's going to be you. You're the one going to suffer when it's all over. You're the one that's going to be caught out there. That person that gave you that advice is gone. And you caught out there. Be careful now. I'm warning you. Do not allow anyone else to cause you to do or say the wrong thing. Are y'all hearing me? Don't do it. God is on your side, and he brought you through all what he brought you through. He did. Jesus Christ brought you through. Now, don't you let nobody come to you and entice you or give you some advice that cause you to walk away from Jesus Christ. Y'all hear me? Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. And the Bible clearly tells us right here. Be careful from whom you're getting your advice from. What are they telling you? Are they feeding you wrong information? Are they enticing you to do something that's going to cause you harm? Listen, the Bible says stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes, some things you want to do, Satan will entice you to do it in a crooked way to make it happen outside God. And you got to be careful that you don't do that. Don't let nobody cause you to walk away from Jesus Christ. Don't let nobody, nobody. I'm married to my wife and I love her. I really do. But if she give me some advice that's wrong, I'm simply not going to take it. I'm going to say, baby, I thank you, but I'm not going to do that. Y'all see that? Bible said, even in laughter, 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 when you're happy, if the devil can get you to fall, you're going to be sorry. And then the whole thing, you're going to walk away with a heavy heart. Are y'all hearing me? You're going to walk away with a heavy heart if the devil can make you fall. I'm warning you today, please don't do that. Look what verse 14 says. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. If you can do wrong and you're happy about it, that means you backslid. If you can do wrong and it's okay, that means you backslid. Did y'all hear me? Look, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, and said, because I preach this good news, I'm suffering and I've been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. God's word ain't going to be changed. I don't care what nobody say. You can believe it or you can doubt it. But God's word will not be changed. Let's look at some of a backslider. Who is a backslider? Number one, the backslider is the man who once walked in the way of religion, but has withdrawn from them. B, the man who once fought manfully against the world, the devil, and the flesh, but has retreated from the battle or join the enemy. That's a backslider. Did you hear that? That's a backslider. Is that you? The man who once belonged to the congregation of the saints, but is now removed from them and is set down in the synagogue of Satan. But who is the backslider in heart? Now let's talk about that, the backslider in heart. Not he who was surprised and overcome by the power of temptation and the weakness of his own heart, but he who drinks down iniquity with greediness. That's a man with backsliding in his heart. You approve of wrong. You agree with it. You agree with it. Did you hear me? Who gives cheerful way to the bent of his own nature and now delights in fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, of the mind. That's a backslide in your heart. You haven't did it, but you got it in your heart. Who loves sin as before he loved godliness. The same way you love godliness, you love sin. A lady told me just this past Saturday how she had felt lonely, and one of her best friends told her, she's a pastor. One of her friends told her, so let's go out. Said, I know you how you feel. Let's go up to Raleigh, North Carolina. There's a club up there we can go to. She first said, okay, because she just wanted some time. And so she called her friend back, said, I can't go. She said, why? She said, because I'm a preacher and I'm a pastor. She said, but you ain't got to tell nobody who you are. She said, but I can't deny God. See, if she would have went, that meant she would have been in a backslidden position. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you to entertain doing wrong. The Bible says, who loves sin, a backsliding heart, as before he loved godliness. If you start loving sin like you love godliness, your heart is done gone, man. That's a serious thing. Number three, what are his own ways? Your ways, when you're doing that, that's folly, that's sin, and disappointment, and death, with the apprehension of the wrath of God. You know, and the sharp twinkling of a guilty what?
Conscience.
You got your mic on, baby? My wife is here.
Guilty conscience.
Go ahead.
What are his own ways? Folly, sin, disappointment, and death, with the apprehension of the wrath of God and the sharp twingings of a guilty conscience.
That's when you're back to in your heart, you know.
Wow.
That's in your heart.
My God.
Satan done got to you. You start seeing ain't nothing wrong with it.
Oh, that's a problem.
And you start saying, well, you know, maybe I need a little fun here. Come on.
That's a problem right there.
You know when you start having a little fun. Don't nobody see me. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a very dangerous place to be. Take a look at something here. Number four, what I said, why? What is what?
What is implied in being filled with his own ways?
What is that?
Having his soul saturated with folly, sin,
yes,
and disappointment.
Yes.
At last ending here below in death, and then commencing an eternal existence where the fire is not quenched and under the influence of that worm that never dieth. Alas, alas, who may abide when God doeth this?
Guess what? When you get to the place, you don't care. How many times you see a preacher? I don't care. Man, I've been serving God ever so long. Man, I don't know. That's why you're in trouble then. You start thinking like that? That's because you're around the wrong people. Look here. A prudent person. What's a prudent person? That was a backslider. Let me see something here. You know, it was a backslider. But look at the Bible talking about a prudent person. Who's a prudent? What it says?
Sagacious in adapting means to end. Circumspect in action. Or in determining any line of conduct, practically wise, judicious, careful, discreet, sensible.
Baby, a prudent person think things out. You weigh it. Is this healthy for me? Should I do this? What's the consequence? What's going to be the repercussion? That's when you're prudent. You're not going to just do something because somebody tell you. Number two, what?
Opposed to rash as a prudent man, dictated or directed by prudence or wise forethought, evincing prudence as prudent behavior.
You don't do everything rashly just because somebody said it. Come on, man. No, I ain't going. I'm not going. Well, I tell y'all, I got a thing in the church. If you don't know where you're going, don't invite me. You know, even on a car, automobile, you pull up in front of the shop, a garage, or the house. I said, Lonnie, come go with me. That's where you're going. I don't know. No, you go ahead. I'll stay here.
Hang on.
See, you just can't jump up and follow somebody because they said so.
Yeah.
What is this going to end?
Right.
What's going to be the end of this?
Right.
Prudent is somebody that's what?
Careful and sensible, marked by sound judgment.
If you're prudent, that's what you're going to do. You're not going to just do anything somebody tell you.
No.
My mom said everything that shine is not gold. That's her word. LJ, everything glitter is not gold. Because it's shiny don't mean it's good.
Right.
Look. Did you see the thing on Facebook the other day They had about them four or five girls. I thought they was girls. And somebody reached it, these are all men. You see that?
Mm-mm.
They was just like women.
Lipstick and hood.
Honey, they were looking mighty good to me on Facebook. I ain't lying to you.
They look like, they look good.
And somebody puts it, these are all men.
They flick, man.
Everything good is not gold.
Everything good ain't good.
This man told me the story, I don't know where he was lying or not, that he went, took this lady to the hotel, as he thought. But when she got in the hotel, she took her wig off. Next thing she did, she took her breasts off.
Hmm.
He said he had to hurry up going to the bathroom. He went to the bathroom and she was using that the same tools he had.
Wait a minute.
And he already in the hotel with her.
Wait,
some paid for the hotel room.
Wait.
Guess what? He had no business there to start with.
That is true.
Now, he looked like I've been had because I thought I had a woman. No, you've been had because you were deceived. Even if it was a woman, you still was there.
That's true.
Because you had no business there with that woman or man, whoever it was. You had no business there. And that's why the Bible says be careful. That's why my topic tonight is be careful from whom you're getting advice from. You heard me?
Mm-hmm.
Because the person you talk to them, They're interested in what they're interested in.
Right. Their intentions might not be so good.
And Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, from the New Living Testament, what it says?
When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get.
I was looking at my Facebook today, and I seen where somebody said, well, we went out and fed people. That's nothing to brag about. Just do it.
Mm.
Just do it. You got all your reward if you're bragging about it.
Mm.
You're going to get nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned, honey, to be grateful for what God did and God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to brag about it. We on the radio, we do this, we do that. We fed the people for Thanksgiving. We did this, we did that. But guess what? That was our God's grace.
Oh, man.
He graced us.
That he did.
Amen.
Amen.
I think Sunday we had to take somebody home. That was out of grace.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you about this man Sunday. You sent me to get some bread. He said, what car you drive, Pastor Starks? I said, this one here. And the other car was parked over there. He said, this is your car? I said, yeah. He said, this your one? I said, no, that one over there. He said, how many more you got? I said, that really ain't important. The important thing is now, let's go to the store and pick up this bread and come back. Why am I going to brag about I got a car? Guess what? Car ain't nothing. You know, you ain't the only one got a car. You know, I might have two cars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I'm not the only one.
Mm-mm.
Some people got cars. And like we this guy there, we looked out there and repossessed this car.
Yeah.
Two times in a row. They had four cars. And two of them got repossessed. What is that for? I ain't bragging about no car.
Man.
Thank God we don't own nothing on no car.
Man.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm not bragging on no car.
Man.
I'm bragging on the fact that Jesus Christ has made a way and he's keeping me. And he'll do the same thing for
Amen.
Anyone that will accept Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What did you say about that, honey?
That's the only one you better brag on. Better be wise and prudent. Don't be foolish. You already see what happens if you get foolish. You'll be had.
Our topic tonight is what?
Be careful from whom you're getting advice from.
Some people mean well.
Yes, they do.
But the advice they give you is not good. You know, I told people, I was telling the young couple that got married in New York. I said, a married woman or a married man don't need to be hanging out with an unmarried couple. If I'm, okay, I'm married to my wife right here. Now, guess what? If I become friends with an unmarried man, we may go out to Abrams to eat like I did today and have that meeting. Let's say we go to eat at 5 o'clock in the evening. I said, well, I'm going to go home to my wife. He said, man, let's hang out. Let's go to the pool room. He ain't got no wife. Did you go to the pool room? Ah, man, I think I'm going to have a few drinks. Look, he may not even be saved, but I'm saved. I don't want no drink. And what is he going to give me? He's going to give me everything and anything that's contrary to a Christian and a married man. The jukebox in there, he has a pretty nice looking lady in there. Come on, man, let's get a dance. Two of them. You get one, I get the other one. What do you got to lose?
Nothing.
I'm going to start dancing with that woman. Next thing you know, baby, you all right? Yeah, baby, I'm fine. Listen, I just feel like hanging out tonight. You feel like, yeah. Now, here I am. I got a wife home. You home waiting for me. I coming in 11 o'clock. Where you been, baby? Honey, I just stopped at the pool room. I didn't tell you I went by the hotel. All because I was hanging with a man that wasn't married. It's the same thing with a Christian. You can't hang with a non-Christian because your values are different. Do you understand that? Your values are different. What you believe in, he don't believe in.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You believe in paying tithes.
Mm-hmm.
You tell that non-Christian you paying tithes. Man, what for? Mm-hmm. You better keep that money.
You know you need to pay them bills.
Listen.
They all kind of things.
I think in 19, let's see, I don't want to lie. I think 70, 71, first time I ever stayed out all night from my wife. I mean, I was out, and man said, man, what you going on for, man? Man, we having fun. I stayed out all night long. I was wrong. You understand?
Yes.
Why? Because he gave me that advice to hang with him. Man, we ain't doing nothing. He ain't had no wife.
Ain't you the man of your house? They come with some stuff.
Oh, man. And you women.
Women the same.
What you going on for?
And you women.
What about?
You work all the time. Don't you always take care of that house? You need a break. Let him take care of the kids for a little while. Yeah.
Wait. Today, down there at Dollar General, that new waitress they got. Not the waitress, what you call
her? The cashier?
Cashier. The new one.
Okay.
She had told me the other day that she was married for 12 years.
Okay.
To a military guy. And 2.5 years ago, he divorced her.
Oh, okay.
So she been by herself. And she said he met this young filly 20-some years old and left her for him.
Okay.
So today I went there. I said, when is the wedding? So she said, I think tomorrow. I said, what about you? Oh, I ain't getting married no more. I said, why? I just ain't getting married no more. I'm a Catholic. I'm a devoted Catholic. And I'm going to be single. I said, but you're young. Was she about 30-some years old? I don't know. And I said, well, what's wrong with it? She said, I don't want to take care of another man. I said, I agree with you. What are you going to take care of him for? He should take care of you. But the point is, somebody's done drilling, put in her head not to get married again. And her husband left her.
Oh, boy.
Is that not stupid?
No, I ain't going to say nothing. I tell you, though.
That's bad advice.
My first church was like that. You can't get married but once. But you can screw around as much as you want to.
Ain't that good? That ain't no good. That ain't no good.
Yeah, I know.
That ain't no good. Oh, listen, right. Saints, we got to go. Amen. I tell you, my wife You got something you want to say before we leave, honey?
No, that was my last comment.
That's your last comment?
Yeah, that was it right there.
Amen. She said in her old first church, they couldn't get married but once.
You can't get married
but
one.
You can hold among all you want to.
Oh, you can screw around much as you want to. You can't get married but one time.
Ain't that something?
One and done. Now, your husband can leave you and go on divorce you and carry on. You can't get married but one time. Your wife can leave you and it's over. One and done. But you can screw around as much as you want to.
Wow,
that is so, it taught me to read the word for myself.
Well, saints, we got to go. God knows we have. I love you tonight. Remember, tomorrow night, we will not be on, no, we'll be on
Wednesday. Yeah.
It will be on Wednesday, but I think we're off Thursday, unless they sell the time. We'll be fine. But we love you with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. I got to go. What number is this, 6, you say?
Mm-hmm.
So until the next broadcast. Keep on looking up and keep on trusting God. All right?
Amen.
God bless. Well, praise Him. We've come to the time we've got to go. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast tonight. I pray this has been a blessing to you. You can always call us at 252-214-0799.
3 minutes.
For prayer. But remember, whatever you do, do it in Jesus' name. Because He is the one that you have to watch out for. He's the one that will be with you always until the end of the world. If you're not saved tonight, or this evening, or this morning, whatever time you're looking at me, listening to me, I want you to know He's standing with His arms wide open, saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Until the next time, remember, God loves you, and I do too. Take care, and bye-bye. Yeah.